We are continuing to look at the Gospel of John and learn about Jesus, our Messiah, through the summer. And this week we're coming to another one of the I Am statements. Remember, we talked about there's seven major I Am statements in the Gospel of John that seem to be kind of the part of the major discourse of the Gospel of John revolves around these I Am statements. And we've already seen that Jesus calls himself the bread of life. I am the bread of life. That he calls himself the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. This week in our passage, we actually get two in one passage. It's like a two-for-one sale. And so he says, I am the door of the sheep, or I am the sheep door of the sheepfold, and I am the good shepherd in this passage. And so we're going to look and see, what does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd and that he is the door of the sheep? The first thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is being the door. Why do you think the sheep need doors? What do you guys think? So they don't wander off, right? Because if we know something about sheep, we should all know that Jesus is not commending us or giving us any kind of high praise by calling us the church sheep, because sheep are dumb. Sheep are incredibly dumb. How many of you have spent any time around sheep? Am I right? Are sheep dumb? Yes, they're dumb. Watch this. Okay, let's watch it again.
What do you want? When do you want it? How do you want it? Who's your daddy? What about your mum? Silence!
Silence, and they all yell. Gives another meaning to the idea of sheeple, right? When we call the masses who gather together and, what do you want? You know, whatever they yell, it gives another meaning to it, that we could be led so easily in into something just by somebody yelling out something, and it's easy for the masses to kind of get whipped up, right? That we as human beings are just like sheep. We're sometimes a little bit dumb. Now, I'm not going to be that harsh about us, because we are made in the image of God, and we have reasonability, and we have an intellect greater than probably any other animal on this planet, and yet, sheep being incredibly dumb is a great illustration for the limitations that we human beings have. That we are not perfect, that we don't know everything, right? We're not, even no matter how smart we are, we don't know all the secrets of the universe, and we don't know all the things out there, and we have to admit some kind of lack, some kind of limit to our knowledge. And so we are limited beings, and sheep are a great illustration of limited beings. They need a sheepfold, they need a pen, because they need to be kind of confined so they don't wander off by themselves and get themselves injured or hurt, going into locations or places that they really shouldn't be. And so the sheep, the image of sheep and the image of Jesus Christ as the sheepfold or the kind of pen in the door that holds in the sheep is one that recognizes our limitations as human beings, and that it's one who's greater than us, who needs to protect us, needs to give us boundaries and help us to be exactly what we're supposed to be and help to keep us safe. Which it goes along with the next thing, is that sheep are communal. Ultimately, sheep are creatures that exist best when they're with other sheep, right? When they're alone by themselves, they're not as good as when they're in their flock together. How many of you, I should have got another YouTube video. How many of you have ever seen the YouTube videos of sheep being shepherded through a field, but you're kind of at a distance and they have lights on them and they're making different shapes or words and stuff in the field, right? Sheep are incredibly good when they're in big flocks. And they're able to read off of each other and be able to avoid dangers and pitfalls because they're following what the mass are doing. I was just at the Monterey Bay Aquarium a couple weeks ago with my kids. And how many of you have ever been to an aquarium where they have big schools of ocean fish? Isn't it amazing that the littlest thing comes by and just kind of spooks them? And what happens to that big school of ocean fish, right? They move all kind of in one direction together or one direction apart to let the predator go by. And they use each other as a way to spot when there's danger around. And sheep do the same thing. There's this church in Manaus, Brazil, that I was able to go to about 10 years ago now while I was in seminary. 7 years ago now when I was in seminary. And they have this incredible small group ministry. You've probably heard me talk about this church at some point. The church started out at around 250 people when the pastor, their current pastor, took over as the pastor of that church. And they're now a network of about 120 churches and about 16,000 people who attend all these churches that they've planted all throughout the Amazon River Basin. And the way they structure their church is they have a worship service all together, and then they listen to a sermon and everything, and then they go off, and through the week, there's all these small groups that meet together around town, and each small group has no more than 20 people in it. And when you go to one of these small groups, they have a poster up front, and the poster is an image of a sheep on a fork with blood coming out of it. Not very enticing imagery, but it's an image that is reminding them that they are better off as a group and together than they are on their own spiritually. And the saying on there is, alone we're food for the devil, together we're a flock. And the idea is that sheep are able to better protect themselves against predators and against dangers when they're together and they're able to help each other out and look out for each other. Well, it's the same thing for us. We Christians, we human beings are communal beings. We need to be together. And Jesus knew this. And so when Jesus refers to us and talks to us and calls us sheep, he's saying that we're better and stronger together than we are alone. And we need each other to be able to grow in our faith. We need each other to be able to avoid the wolves in sheep's clothing and be able to continue to persevere in what God has called us to. And so, confirmands, this is, I think, a message I really hope you guys hear. Because as you get older and as you graduate from high school or go into high school and then graduate from high school and go into college, it's going to become tempting for you to drop church off the list of things that you do. To drop the people in this church off of the list of people who you spend time with, because you're going to get busier and busier. More and more is going to be demanded of your time, right? How many high school students do we have in here? Is more and more demanded of your time? Yeah, it becomes more and more difficult to get together with your fellow Christians because their world is going to be calling you to do all of these things. And yet, I want you to make sure that you make a commitment that not just that you've confirmed your faith and that you're a member of the church, but that you would really seek out being with each other and being a group together for the rest of your lives, sharing your faith with others who believe and allowing them to impact you and share with you. It's important because if you don't, if you become a stray who is off by yourself without the rest of the group, it's so much easier for you to get tempted into doing things that is not honoring to God and is not within God's will for you. And it's the same for the rest of us. The rest of us who think that we can live our lives in solo spirituality, you know, I'm spiritual but not religious, man. That's really a silly statement to make in and of itself. But it's even more silly when we realize that we are sheep. And that when we get off by ourselves, we're way more able to get ourselves into danger than when we stay with groups of people who are going to encourage us and help us to see those pitfalls and those dangers and help us to grow in our relationship with Christ. So community is incredibly important to sheep. Sheep need a leader. You know, sheep will follow whoever they see a leader into dangerous spaces or safe spaces. It doesn't matter. Sheep will follow whatever leader there is. In fact, there's been all kinds of studies among sheep because there's some sheep who naturally rise up as leaders within their own flock, and the other sheep will look to that sheep for leadership. And so there's been all kinds of different leadership books written about sheep and certain leadership and stuff like that. But the idea is that sheep need to follow something. And Jesus, in this passage, says that the one that we really need to follow is who? Him. He's our leader. Jesus is the one that we are to follow. And unfortunately, Jesus says that he lays his life down for his sheep, and that he says in other places that if we wish to follow him, we'll take up our cross, right? And so the territory Jesus is leading us into is not necessarily the safest territory. It's territory where we have to abandon ideas for ourselves and abandon desires that we wish after and seek after Christ's desires, seek after God's desires more than anything else. But Christ is our leader as his flock, as his sheep. And he formed his church on this day, Pentecost, some 2,000 years ago. And he wished and desired that the church would be led by him. I can guarantee you that all the times the church has gotten itself in trouble, all the times the church that we can look back in the history of the church and be incredibly embarrassed about because the church did horrendous things to other people or to whole groups or to each other, it's been when we haven't put Jesus as our leader. It's when we were following something or someone else that was not Jesus Christ. And so there has been others who have continually pointed us back to following after Jesus as our leader. The last thing that Jesus talks about is Jesus says that the sheep know his voice, that the sheep know the master's voice. This is just an incredible thing about sheep. And if you go YouTube it, the videos were way too long, so I wasn't going to make you guys sit through them. But if you go YouTube it, you'll find at least 5 or 6 different videos. If you just type in sheep calling, there are all kinds of videos showing one after another people who are not the master's sheep coming up, having been taught what the master says, taught the exact call that the master does. And they come up and they call to the sheep, and the sheep sit there in the field and completely ignore them. And then the leader, the shepherd, the one who has cared for these sheep for their entire life, they know his voice so well that when he steps up and does his call, they all perk up. And then he does his call again, and they all run off the field and run to him. They know their shepherd's voice. And Jesus, being amongst a bunch of shepherds all the time, knew this about sheep. He knew that sheep have an incredible ability to listen to nuanced little tonalities in the voices of their shepherds, and that they would only obey and listen to the one that they knew was after their good. And so Jesus says that those who follow me, those who will come after me, my sheep know my voice, and they will obey me and listen to me. And so we know that Jesus calls us into a relationship with himself and calls us into living a life where we are surrendering ourselves to his will and living our life that he might be glorified in us. And really, it's this table that displays his voice, displays his will for us, because in this table, we remember that the good shepherd, the one who truly and genuinely loves each one of us, lays down his life for us, sacrifices himself. He's not a hired hand that runs away as soon as a wolf comes into the sheepfold. He instead lays his life down and allows himself to be sacrificed for the rest of his sheep. And so that is the will of Christ for us, that we would lay our lives down, that we would live our lives in service to him and service to those around us as he lived his life. And it's this meal where we remember that work that he did. And so we're invited to come and join around this table as a part of his family, as a part of his sheepfold, to partake in his work, to receive his grace, and to be fueled to be his sheep out in the world. Let us come now and pray as we enter the table. Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that we have received from your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this table and all it represents, and how, Lord, you sacrificed so much for our good. Despite all our rebellion and all our selfishness, Lord, you made us to be your sheep. Help us to hear your voice and to know when you are calling us that we might follow you, no matter where it is, no matter what it is. Lord, we thank you for this fellowship that we are a part of, the community of other sheep that we have joined. Not just here today at communion with us at this table, but Lord, all of those throughout time and history who have come around this table celebrating this meal. We thank you that we enter into a moment of almost timelessness as we take this meal in sharing with all those who have come before us and all those who live around the world today. We pray, Lord, for Christians all over the world. Help them to be a healing balm in places where terrorism is high on the alert. Help them to be there after a terrorist attack like we saw a couple of times in London recently, Lord, or in Manchester. Lord, we pray that the church would be the first to come and to serve and to love those who have been affected by hate and violence. That it would be your love, your self-sacrifice, your mercy that would be shown forth in your church after each time others want to show their hate. Lord, make us in this place be your people, that as we serve not only each other but our community, you would help us to be the kind of self-sacrificial, loving people that your son Jesus was. May this meal be a reminder to us to make us like your son, to be loving in every way, to be encouraging, to be merciful, to be graceful. Lord, and to be challenging towards those who are doing injustice. Lord, we pray all this trusting that we are meeting you here at this table, and so we surrender ourselves to you in the way that your Son taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body broken for you.
And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he poured it out and he said, This is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you eat this bread and you drink from this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come if you know Christ a little and you want to know him more. Come if you want to surrender your life before him and receive his grace that you might be transformed into his image. Come to receive Christ.